In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters, today is the Sunday of the Last Judgment. Now, whenever we have any feast day, you should ask intelligent questions, such as, why do we have this particular reading today? Why do we have this particular feast day today? Sometimes it's just because it's the way the calendar is. But in this case, there are four Sundays, really five. I count them as five because I count Zacchaeus as part of the cycle. But five Sundays, or four, if you want to count it as according to the Triodion, that are before Great Lent, that prepare us for Great Lent. So why do we talk about the Last Judgment before we enter Great Lent? You should be able to answer this question. You should understand. No, I'm not asking questions, asking for people to actually answer them. Why do we have the Last Judgment now, just a week before the last week of Great Lent, you know, the penultimate Sunday before Great Lent? Well, the obvious answer that people give, and really it's just the smallest part, but it's the one that people usually give, is the idea that it puts you in the right mindset for Great Lent. A mindset of repentance, a mindset of remembering the judgment, and therefore struggling for virtue and struggling to follow the commandments. That's true, but that's sort of burying the lead. That's not really why we are contemplating the judgment right now. This gospel of the Last Judgment is actual, but it's also metaphorical. Because the criteria by which people were judged, someone was hungry, they gave them food, thirsty, gave them drink, stranger, they took them in, naked, they clothed them, sick, they visited them, or in prison, and they came unto them. Those are things that we should do, but they are indicative of something higher. They are indicative of the nature of the God-man Jesus Christ. They are indicative of virtue, of holiness, of compassion. And that is why we are contemplating the Last Judgment now. There is one criterion for judgment. One criterion. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and have you struggled to become like Him? And how much have you become like Him? That's the criterion for judgment. Because the Lord will look into our hearts and see whether or not we are like Him. If we are like Him, He will say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." If we are not like Him, then He will put us with the goats. Now this, you can look at it the way most people do and say this is something that should make us afraid and make us full of repentance and desiring to know all of our sins and therefore confess them and struggle to have a kind of a somber attitude during Great Lent. If you do this, then you don't understand what Great Lent is for. Because at the end of Great Lent is the resurrection. And with the resurrection, all things become new and we become perfected. And so Great Lent is that period of time when you should be concentrating on your sins, but especially on virtues. You should be especially attempting to learn to become like Christ. That's why we have the Last Judgment now, because these things that the righteous and the unrighteous alike were judged on, these, what are they, five things, I believe? Hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, prison, sick. I think that's six. Six things are certainly things that we should be doing in our day-to-day life, but are indicative of God, the nature of God, the holiness of God. Your purpose in life is to become like Him. Pure and simple. And so, when the judgment comes, the Lord will look, say, did you do these things? Not did you do these particular things, because there's a whole lot more than this. But are you like me? Have you become like me? That's the purpose of your life, and that's, in microcosm, especially the purpose of Great Lent, to struggle more in this way. Now, there are things you do during Great Lent, or should be doing, that will certainly assist this change, this metamorphosis that happens. And that would be fasting. Fasting sharpens the mind, sharpens the, I don't mean the mind, I don't mean the noggin on top of your head. I mean your soul, the mind of your soul. You get sharper in your understanding of good versus evil and of recognizing what is good, what is bad. Fasting helps that. The church knows this. And if you fast, you'll know this too. Additional prayer, especially the prayer of Saint Ephrem, that will help sharpen the mind too, make us more alert and make us more energetic. If you go through Lent and you say, oh, I've gotten so tired and I'm just crabby, then you're not doing it right. Lent is a joyful time because it's a time when you are trying to be in such a state that you can truly feel the resurrection, the greatest event in the history of mankind. So it should be a time of joy and sorrow. The sorrow because we're not what we should be, but the joy because God will help us to become what we are not. So that's why the Last Judgment is present now, because it shows what we are aiming for. If you don't know what you're aiming for, you're never going to hit it. If you don't have a purpose, then how can you fulfill your purpose? So our purpose should be to become like the God-man Jesus Christ and to have his virtues. Now, there are basically four main things that are taught in these four Sundays before Great Lent. The first one, with the publican and the Pharisee, was don't judge and feel your sins deeply and desire to change. And then the one with the prodigal son was about repentance. But much more so than that, what I said to you last week, the most important words of that parable are, he came to himself to recognize what is right, what is wrong, what is good and bad, what gives life and what gives death. Then the next one today is basically be kind. Be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who know me have heard me say this many times. I hope you remember. If you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. Christianity is to be kind, is to be compassionate, because our Lord is kind and compassionate. No matter what your sins, I don't care what they are. If you are kind, the Lord will receive you, because he will help you with all of your other sins, whether you think you're changing much or not. If you're kind, the Lord will receive you. But it doesn't matter if you're perfect in everything else, perfect in fasting, perfect in your prayers, perfect in not having any sins that we think are so terrible, when actually the most terrible ones are when we don't love our brother. If you're perfect in all those things, but you are not kind, then you will be with the goats. So this Great Lent should be where you concentrate on learning to be kind, learning to be compassionate, learning to think of others. Now, there is a marvelous thing in this parable. I hope I don't go down a rabbit hole, or as Michael Dom tells me sometimes. But this is one of the most wonderful things about the parable, because it's like a parable too. It's an actual event, but it's also said with metaphorical language. Is that the righteous, when the Lord says to them, I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was hungry and you gave me to meat. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. In prison, and you came to me. They answer and say, Lord, when did we see thee? and they repeat the list. When did this happen? We don't remember. There's this holy surprise. And you know why they're surprised? Because of their humility. Because when a person does holy works, they really just don't consider, they don't keep track of them, they don't give themselves credit as the Pharisee did. They just live according to God. And so when the judgment comes, the righteous say, when did this happen? We don't remember. I think that's a wonderful thing. Because, personally speaking now, I find in my life, there are many times when it seems like my efforts are fruitless and making no progress either in my own personal life or in those that I'm trying to help. People come into my life, they go, some seem to get a little bit better, some don't. It's all kind of a massive secret to me. It's very confusing. But God knows all. And so, at the end, when there is a reckoning, all things will be remembered. Everything good and everything bad. But the wonderful thing is, though, even though there is bad in our lives, if we have struggled to be kind, the Lord will say, come and inherit that of my Father. Because the good will always outweigh the bad. Even if it's a small amount of good and a large amount of bad, the Lord, if we struggle to be kind, will recompense us much more than what we're worth. There's another thing about this story that gives me great comfort. I have a correspondence with an atheist, a very good man and in worldly ways. He's a very kind man. I hope that God will forgive him and he will inherit the kingdom. And this man is angry about various political and social happenings. Most of the stuff he's angry about, I'm just as angry about, just as upset about. We come from different political persuasions, but for the most part, I mean, we agree on so much. But he's angry that this person who says this terrible thing doesn't get judged and doesn't get taken to task right now. And so I wrote to him recently, and I said, you're at a disadvantage. Because for you, justice can only be in this world, since there is nothing after this world, according to your belief. So you want justice now, and there never is justice now. Or rarely, almost never, is there justice in this world. There's always lies and deceit and hurting people. It's happening all the time. We see it happening all over the world. Right now, there's unrest in Ukraine. There's always unrest in multiple places in Africa. There's unrest in multiple places in South America. There are people put in holes and tortured for decades in North Korea and many other places. There's always lying, cheating, stealing going on. But there is a recompense. There is a reckoning. All things will be made known, and there will be the justice that this man so much wants, but it will not be in this world. It'll be in the world that he doesn't believe exists. But we know this world exists. So remember this. Remember that there is a next life. There is a judgment. There is a reckoning. And you're responsible for how you live. You're not responsible for how that guy lives, or how that politician talks, or how many people are getting ripped off by this or that. You're responsible for, are you kind to others? Are you like the Lord Jesus Christ? That's it. And there is a reckoning, and it will happen. So may God grant that we live always with knowledge of the judgment, that God will recompense us. We should have fear according to our sins, but we should also have joy and expectation because the Lord is good and the Lord will help us. So this last judgment gospel is teaching us the way to live, not what to be afraid of, but the kind of person we should be. So investigate yourself. Are you a kind person? Do you judge others? If you do, well, may God help you. Next week we have the last piece of the teachings. I said we have the idea of not judging, repenting, being kind, and then the last one, which is so necessary, is to forgive. Forgiveness Sunday. And then we enter upon Great Lent. And my prayer for you, as your pastor, is really only this, that you would learn to be like Christ. That you would struggle to be like Christ. So may God help you to do this. Amen.